heaven were your home on high. Your blessings, name them one by one. Your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend. Help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Amen. It's good to count your blessings. Amen. Amen. I do not have a printed missions letter here, so I am going to find one real quick, and we're going to do our missions moment. If you have something you'd like to give to missions, you can do so at this time. Be in prayer for our radio program. It has become abundantly clear that the devil does not want us to have a radio. I believe God's in it. But there is a constant fight to try to get it to happen. And I have a letter here, and it just went blank. Bummer. Well, the Miashta family, we're going to pray for them. And let's see here. Their mission board address changed. They said, know about that. They had 22 people at their, I guess it was a baby dedication service at their church plant there. 22 people, and then they had 20 present in their auditorium space with just over 300 square feet. That's a tiny little room. Says they're praying for wisdom and how to proceed with the space that they are in. So, wow, 300 square feet. What's that like? Amen. 10 by 30. That's 10 by 30. So, yeah. So that's a tight squeeze there. But they said be in prayer for their Christmas outreach. They do some things during Christmas time to reach out to folks in their area. So does anybody remember the Miashta family? Yes, going to Japan. How can you remember? How can you remember? How can you forget to remember those folks? Great, great people, doing a great work there in Japan. We're gonna pray for them tonight, and for our radio program. So, let's see here, Pastor Adams, won't you open us in prayer? Pray for the Miashtas and Glory Baptist Radio.
Heavenly Father, when you come before you tonight, we thank you for all the blessings that you give us, Lord. We ask you to remember those things. Sometimes get rough, and we have setbacks and things. We get discouraged, Lord. We know that you're good to us, and that you're always working in our lives. And just pray that you help us to see those things that you're doing, and be thankful. Lord, we do. We ask that you'll be at the radio ministry here, Lord. That it would come together as you would have it to, and that it would work properly, Lord, and be able to reach people, Lord, and encourage those that listen to it, Lord, and challenge those that listen to it, and the gospel go forth from it, Lord. And we just pray also for the Austin family, Lord, and we ask that you bless them, Lord, and increase their attendance, Lord, and just open doors for them for meeting the place and the things that they need. And
amen. All right, turn the page a couple times. If you didn't close your hymnal, if you did, it's 195. Glory to His name. Speaking of our radio program, we still need some good, godly Christmas music to add to the
playlist for Christmas. Otherwise, it'll be hymns plus Christmas music. So we've got one week to get that worked out. And Brother Bella may need some assistance in getting that done. And so more than just here's a CD, but maybe somebody come up and say, hey, I'll get on that computer and wrestle it to the ground and make it do what we need it to do. And there you go. Or I'll find something that I can use to motivate Brother Bella to do that as well. So anybody that wants to volunteer to help with that, see Brother Bella. And then he'll ask me if it's okay. And the answer is probably yes. All right. 195. Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where from cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name, glory to His name, glory to His name, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. I'm wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where He put me in. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. O precious fountain that saves from sin, I am so glad I have entered in. There Jesus saved me and keeps me clean. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Come to this fountain so rich and sweet. Cast my poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Amen. You may be seated. Some quick announcements here. Don't forget, tomorrow night is Simple Steps with Brother Ramsey. What? You say boo? You booing yourself? Well, oh, food. Food, amen, food. Hallelujah. That's, okay, so it's with Brother Ramsey, but it's really with the Lord. And Brother Ramsey being the representative leader at Simple Steps tomorrow night. So be there and be a blessing to Brother Ramsey and give me your feedback, what you think, okay? And you say that, Brother Ramsey, he is just as bald as can be. So that's tomorrow night. And then Saturday morning at 7 a.m., that's tomorrow night at 7 p.m., and then 12 hours later at 7 a.m. Sorry, thought I heard somebody's alarm going off. 12 hours later at 7 a.m. Is the Happy Days Breakfast Bible Study with Pastor Gimlick, who is trying frantically to finish his work and get here. So be in prayer that he can get here before the service is over, if possible, so and safely. Of course, our Sunday service. And then next week, y'all believe we are less than 1 week away from Thanksgiving. I know you could say, it's a whole week. Well, I mean, today's over, so we're there. It's there. We got less than 168 hours to figure out what we're cooking and have all the stuff to be able to cook it. And there we go. So, amen. It'd be a good time. Amen. So, with that being said, we are going to have pie and praise on. Now, do know that when you close that door, you close the heat out of this room. So, I'm okay with that because it feels fine where I'm at. But, what's that? The heater in here, when we turn it on, it freezes. It freezes outside. Yeah, the outside unit freezes up. But we can turn it on. We just need to remember to turn it off after service so that it doesn't freeze up when we're not here. If it freezes up while we're here, well, we can spray it off with a hose or something. But it feels fine in here. Y'all all right? Everybody good? Feeling good? Amen. It's cold? Who said it's cold? What? You're cold? Oh, one of the girls. I'm actually right where I'm at. It's probably about 75 degrees right here. So, right where I'm standing. So, but I am like right under this. This actually isn't hot at all. It's a little warm, but it doesn't put off heat like a normal light would. So, anyhow, if you get too cold. I've got a jacket up here I can throw at you in case you get too cold. But I think we'll be all right. And you know what? If you do need to close those doors, then that's fine. You can close those doors. It's fine with me. So, anyhow, circled lights the day after Thanksgiving. And then we're supposed to be having a church security meeting on Saturday. I haven't confirmed with Brother Cole yet. I need to. I did tell him that was the plan, but I didn't follow up. So, need to do that in the next couple of days. Saturday the 26th. Yes, ma'am. Okay. In December. December ladies security meeting. What? All right. Speaking of security there. There ladies beat 'em up or self-defense. Yeah. Ladies beat 'em up meeting. Do you have a date? All right, Tuesday, December 13th at 10 a.m. Right, like 10 to 2 or something, 10 to 5, 10 to 6, 10 to 4. Okay, there we go. I've got it written down. All right, and when Brother Travis gets here, he went to go visit his mom at the hospital, get with him about the fasting and prayer calendar. And the tent fund, which he probably forgot to bring the tent bank, because he was visiting his mother in the hospital. So, be in prayer for Sister Linda as well, as she has undergone her third hip surgery and going to be going through a fourth one. So, long story, we'll talk about it during prayer time. So anyhow, I think that's it for now. Don't forget your faith promise. Update your faith promise. So don't forget to do that here in the next, well, we have 2 weeks left in this month. 13 days left. Brother Wilhelm's counting down. December 1st. Amen. So, all right. Well, let's go ahead and make ready for the offering. Awesome. Thank you, sir. Brother Ramsey, why don't you pray for the offering for us, sir? grab your hymnal again and turn to hymn number 91. What a day that will be. 91. And I think I may. I'll let you sit through the first verse and stand up in the middle of the second verse. How's that? I'm just messing with you. So what? Hymn number 91. There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye, all is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon His face, the One who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the One who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon His face, the One who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. Revelation 1, verses 13 through 15. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. Amen. Amen. We're going to grab our Bibles now and stand together. And the first text in our study tonight is Luke 17, verses 20 and 21. Luke 17, verses 20 and 21. We turn there. Luke chapter 17. Verse number 20. When he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, Lo, here, or Lo, there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you." Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for your word, and we thank you for the opportunity to open it tonight and just timely thoughts here. Lord, we pray that you'd help us to consider what you have for us tonight. We look forward to the message. We pray that you'd help us to apply it to our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I was just talking to somebody the other day about things that are not findable. They're past finding out. You it's sometimes hard to see some things, right? That's the way faith works, right? Faith is not something that you necessarily see. Sometimes you will see some things that you take by faith. There can be some matter of sight in the matter, but you can't count on your ability to see something that God says is. Does that make sense? Sometimes it is, and in fact, and I know I'm kind of doing a rabbit trail here, but I think it fits. In fact, there are some things that seem to be impossible, that seem to be, you cannot see it, you've never heard it before, you've never felt it in your hands before, you've never experienced it with your five senses. But God says it is. And so you trust Him. Now, it's kind of like, reminds me of Gideon. As Gideon is headed, chasing the remnant, which is kind of funny, 300 soldiers chasing, I want to say it was 125,000 soldiers, as they took off running away. So 300 chasing, it was, I think the odds were, and maybe 125,000 isn't the right number, but the odds were like 50 to 1. 50 to 1 was the odds of those that they were chasing. Anybody ever chase 50 people away all by yourself? Just chasing 50 people and they're running from you? Not in your car. But when they went to battle, it was 450 to 1. And so, by all human considerations, 300 men was not enough for Gideon. 300 men was it was ridiculous to consider from a human perspective. But God said, with 300, you'll win. I will use 300 and you'll win. And so there are some things that we expect to see, some things that we expect to experience in some way with our hands, with our eyes, with our ears. We expect to have some sort of tangible experience in order to believe that it is what we want or what God wants it to be. Sometimes when it comes to salvation, people think that sometimes we've got to be able to see, like, I know this is a balance, okay, because we do require some fruit in order to let someone join the church. But that's not fruit in order for someone to be saved. There is no, and I know I'm gonna hear it from somebody. But there is nothing that you can see necessarily that will give you an absolute assurance that somebody else got saved. There is nothing that you can see necessarily that will give you an absolute assurance that they didn't get saved either. I know we try to say, well, you know, they weren't serious. Do you know, really? Do you really know? And it could be that they seemed to be very serious and they weren't. You don't know. That's one of those things you just can't see. Now, some people in their own heart, they'll say, well, how do I know that I really was repentant? You're thinking the wrong way. You're thinking the wrong way. You're counting on your own feelings to determine whether or not you got saved. When I got saved, my assurance that I'm saved is based upon something that I've never seen before. It's based upon the fact that Jesus Christ took my sin upon Himself at Calvary. I didn't see that. I've read about it. I wasn't there. I didn't see it. I've heard about it, you know, from people, and I've read about it. But I had to take by faith that that's what was so, based upon what God said. And my assurance is that Jesus Christ died for my sins. That's my assurance. I'll tell you what, I can do all kinds of good things in this life, but not one work that I do or set of works that I do is sufficient assurance that I'm headed to heaven. The only assurance I have that I'm headed to heaven is that Jesus Christ died for sinners and that He offered it to me as a gift. And by faith, I accept that. And because I've accepted that, I'm on my way to heaven. And I have assurance of that because of something that I cannot see. And I'm saying this for the sake of maybe somebody watching online, that oftentimes in life, there are things that God says, trust Me. And you can't see it. You can't see it. It doesn't make sense. You can't figure it out. And that's exactly why it requires faith. It's exactly why it requires faith. Because you have to just trust God. Our little pea brains are not capable of figuring out sometimes what God has declared. And so, when it comes to God's kingdom, the earthly kingdoms of men have discernible locality, dimensions, borders, right? But what is the kingdom of God? Where is the kingdom of God? What are its borders? This is a sometimes much debated concept. Because the simple answer to that is, it's everywhere. The kingdom of God is all over. The vast array of existence is the kingdom of God. Yet, it is not. Yet it is not. Is the kingdom of God, is God ruling over this earth right now? He's not. He's not. He's the Creator. He's God. And He's sovereign. And in His sovereignty for this time, He's left the kingdom, the physical kingdom of this world to man. And then there's devilish influence as well. The prince of the power of the air, the god of this world. That's what it is right now. But the kingdom of God right now, for now anyways, it is intangible. It is not observable, as we just read in our text. It is like the wind. Remember, like Jesus said to Nicodemus there. He said, the wind bloweth where it listeth. Now hearest the sound thereof, and canst not see whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is led by the Spirit of God, I believe He says. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. But He's talking about the kingdom here. The context there, He's talking about the kingdom. It's like when the kingdom of God is seen only in the fruit resulting from the miracle of regeneration. We can only see aspects of the kingdom when we see people serving God, right? And they're happy in the service of the King. Amen. And so, it's not a political kingdom. The kingdom of God does not rest in the Republican Party. The kingdom of God does not rest in the Democrat Party. It does not rest in the Libertarian Party or the Green Party or the, what am I missing? Etc. The Socialist Party, the Communist Party. It does not rest in any political party. Jesus said to Pilate, My kingdom is not of this world. If My kingdom were of this world, then would My servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is My kingdom not from hence. Notice two really important words in that statement. Now and from. And then the third word, hence, here. My kingdom is not, He says, but now is My kingdom not from hence. In other words, it's not from here, first of all, and it's not present here yet. It's not of this world. says here, the sword was never shaped for the hand of God's people. God's work is done with the sword of the Spirit. This statement, by the way, talking about God's people, we're talking about God's people during this age, right? So we don't use the sword, the physical sword. We don't use a gun to try to convert people or to try to convince people or bring people into the kingdom. We don't bring people into the kingdom through prisoners of war. We bring them into the kingdom by conversion. We convince them of the Word of God. In fact, it's actually not our job to convince them. We proclaim to them the truth of the Word of God. The Spirit of God convinces them that they are not of His kingdom. The Spirit of God convinces them that they are going to face the judgment of God, that they are sinners, and that that God is righteous and that He offers them a place in His kingdom if they will by faith believe. Oh, you're looking for the... Yeah, 579. Page number 579. Top two-thirds of the page. Number three here. It is nevertheless very real. You know, here's what we miss. Because we like to think that only the things that we can see and experience are real. Right? We like to say, well, if I can put it in my hand and hold it in my hand and look at it with my eyeballs, it's real. If I can, if I can see it even off in the distance, it's real. Or if I were to say that somebody's standing right here, and say, I don't believe it. Because why not? Because you can't see somebody standing here. Right? Obviously, there's nobody standing there. But if I were to say to you that somebody was standing there, maybe there was like some sort of a device there where they kept you from being able to see. Or maybe there is somebody standing there. Maybe there's an angel somewhere in the room or something. God's here with us. But we know God's here, right? His Word's being preached. We know the Spirit of God is here. According to His Word, we know He's here. Do we really believe it, though? I hope you do. Oftentimes, though, we think, well, I can't see Him. I don't hear Him. So, maybe He's not paying attention right now. But He's here. He is actually here in this room. He's here. By the way, He's there when you're tempted to sin also. He's there when He's prompting you to witness to somebody or to do something. You know, when you're sitting back on the chair or on the couch or something, you just kind of kick back and you're like, oh, you know, man, I'm just comfy here. And they just kick back. And then there's this urge to go do something. That urge isn't always... Now, it might be your wife saying, would you get off your backside and do something? Or maybe she didn't say anything. Maybe she didn't even look at you. Maybe there was an urge from within that you need to accomplish some things for the Lord and you're sitting there wasting your time. I don't know about you, that's happened to me before. That wasting my time. I need to get up and do something. Sometimes I'm sitting there doing stuff. Woo! Sometimes I'm sitting there doing stuff. Yeah. There's the button on my pants. The button on my pants went across that thing. So sometimes I'm sitting at my desk, I'm working. The Lord's like, you need to do this. Oh man, I got this work to do. Okay. Sometimes work goes by the wayside, I get to do something else. But what's amazing is that we will ignore the promptings of the Spirit of God. What's amazing is that we will ignore that God's kingdom God's kingdom is at work. Even though we can't see His kingdom, even though we can't hear His voice tell us to get up and do something, even though we can't necessarily feel Him per se. So I know a lot of people are like, well, I don't feel God's presence. Well, that's your fault. Because you're looking for some certain feeling. Maybe the feeling you thought was God's presence wasn't God's presence at all. Maybe it was the presence of somebody else. You know, the devil's an angel of light. And his angels can seem to be, they can cloak themselves, they can make it seem like they're good. But the kingdom of God and God's working in man is a very real thing. God working in our hearts, and God working the conviction and just God dealing with us. It's a very real thing. The subjects of the kingdom of God often have tangible suffering, even. But the kingdom itself isn't the army of the kingdom of God. It's not an army that fights a physical force. But it's physical people that are spiritually in the kingdom. Not only is it not, it's intangible, not observable, not political, but very real. Hey, Brother Romeo, we're on. We're live right now. So, hi. Can't answer the phone. But it is also invisible. It is an invisible kingdom. Now, you say, wait a minute, what's the difference between not observable and invisible? Well, not being able to observe something means that it could be visible, you just cannot observe it. How does that work? Something that's visible, but you can't observe it. Give me some examples. Not examples of things that are visible that you can't observe, but reasons why you could possibly not observe something that's visible. Maybe you're not allowed to, but what I'm saying, something that is visible, but you cannot observe it. What did you say? You might be blind. Oh, it's hidden? Yeah.
It's very, very real, and you can see it, but it's tucked away.
Maybe. It's behind something else. You have, your view is obstructed. Sometimes your view is obstructed. Sometimes things that are visible that God wants you to see, your view is obstructed by a lack of faith or spiritual blindness. Sometimes your view is obstructed by other things. Sometimes you put other things in the way. Well, I can't see a Bible over there because I've got this book here. Right? Sometimes our view gets obstructed by the cares of this world. Sometimes our view gets obstructed by the stuff we want, or the lifestyle we want to live, or the things, the feelings we want to have, or the safety or security that we seek. And instead of being able to see what God's trying to do, all we can see is what we want. That's why something that is visible can sometimes not be observed. However, the kingdom is not only not observable, but it's also not visible. In Romans 14, verse number 17, it says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink." These are tangible, visible items, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. These are intangible, invisible realities. You might say, wait a minute, I can see righteousness. No, you can't. You can see the effects of righteousness. You can see acts of righteousness, but you can't see righteousness itself until you see Jesus. You can't see peace You can see what peace does, but you can't see peace. You can't see joy. I mean, unless it's like, you know, this time of year they have those little things on the thing there, a little candle holder or something that says joy on it. You can see the word joy, but you can't see joy itself. But you, like I said, you can see the effects. Just like you cannot see the kingdom of God yet, but you can see the effects of the kingdom of God. You can see the working of the kingdom of God coming out through people doing things, right? That obeying the king. So it has phases. The kingdom of God has phases. Phases of the kingdom of God. You understand what I mean by phases? Like phase one, this is where we're at. Okay, phase two, kind of like we're working on this building project here. Phase one, get permission to build. And we're currently on phase one, part 763. And so we were just informed today that we have to have another zoning variance for this expansion. Additional zoning variance for the expansion. We've got it for the parking lot, not for the expansion. And they will not approve our ILP until we have that zoning variance. So we have to go through that process all over again. Pay the fees, inform the neighbors, put the stuff in the news, newspapers, and et cetera, put a sign out front, blah, 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 blah. All those things. Yeah. So, fun stuff. But anyhow, phases. Phases. So after we get the permits and phase one is done, phase two, dig a hole in the ground. And then have them come out and look at the hole and see if it's good enough. Is this a good enough hole? Okay, good. Then put gravel in and concrete, and phase one is done with the groundwork. And we have a parking lot when phase one is done. Phase two, build a structure. Right? Phase three, close the structure. Top first. That might be phase 3A. Put the top on. Phase 3B, close the outside. Phase four, start finishing the inside. You know, so those are phases, right? But the kingdom of God is in phases, or it has phases. He says here the model prayer. Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "Thy kingdom come." Yet in Matthew chapter number 12, verse number 28, and Luke chapter 10, verse number 11, the Lord said that the kingdom of God is already come. How is it that the kingdom of God can be here? And he also, at the same time, tells us to pray that it would be here. That it would come. Well, because it's phases. We have the present phase. The present phase is the spiritual, invisible, intangible, universal realm of the saved. All believers everywhere are part of the first phase, or the present phase, of the kingdom of God. This manifestation of the kingdom has already come. That's what Jesus was talking about when he said that the kingdom was here in Matthew chapter number 12, verse number 28, and Luke 11, 20, as well as Luke 10, 11. The preaching of the gospel of the kingdom began with John the Baptist in Luke 16, 16. That's phase one, or the present phase. The prospective phase, though, is this is the thy kingdom come stage, okay, or the phase thy kingdom come. When God's will is done on earth as it is in heaven, we certainly are not in this phase. Certainly not in this phase. In fact, there are so many people that confuse God in the sense that they say, well, if, some people will say, if there was a God, why are these things happening in the world? Because the answer for that is, there is a God. These things are happening in the world because God is letting us be in charge of that for now. And we're failing miserably. That's why those things happen. Because man chose to sin against God. And man chose to disobey God. And so with that came death. And with death came disease. And with disease and death also came sinful man, the sinful hearts of man committing murder and thefts and destruction toward one another. And during this phase, we're hoping for, we're seeking for, we're yearning for the kingdom of God to come. We've got the kingdom of God here in our hearts, and some of our fellow believers, or rather all of our fellow believers, but we have some folks in the world, the believers, have the kingdom of God. We experience the kingdom of God when we have fellowship with our King and with the subjects of the kingdom, but we don't experience the kingdom of God in the sense that it has fully come. It's not here yet. This phase, when it will be here, is we call it the millennial kingdom of Jesus Christ. This is when Jesus comes to rule and reign over the earth with a rod of iron. It's mentioned in lots of places throughout the Bible. In fact, it is the culmination or the consummation of all ages where everything comes together for the fulfillment of all prophecy when Jesus comes and rules on earth. It is the phase of God's kingdom that Peter, James, and John were permitted to see or preview at the transfiguration of Christ. It is the kingdom in which the Lord will once again eat and drink with His true church. It is the kingdom which the Jews thought would be ushered in at the first advent, at the first coming of Christ. But note, Christ did not make a mistake by first offering the Jews an earthly political millennium, only to change it to a spiritual one when they rejected Him. Like many dispensationalists today, the Jews missed, not to say that dispensationalists are all wrong, but some are, okay? But the Jews missed the twofold message of their prophets. The Messiah should first suffer to bring salvation, then later return the second time to bring in the restitution of all things. It was Jesus rather than the Jews who rejected the political kingdom. Remember, the Jews tried to take Him to be the king at one point during His ministry. And He said, nope. In fact, He just walked right through the middle of them and walked off. He rejected the political kingdom. They rejected the Messiah. They wanted to make Him king for their own reasons. By the way, there's a little bit of an application in that. They wanted to make Him king so that they could have what they wanted. What did they want? They wanted relief. They wanted relief from Rome. And so they wanted King Jesus to come in and give them relief from Rome and just wipe Rome off the map. They wanted King Jesus to come in and just clear the battlefield and be their king so that they didn't have to deal with their current leadership. That's all it was about. They wanted relief from their problems. That's not, by the way, why we follow the Lord. If you're following the Lord because because of the blessings, because of the relief from your problems, oh, I'm headed to hell. I need to believe on Jesus so that I can get out of hell free, right? Sure, you can get saved that way if you truly understand that you're a sinner and that's the issue. But if it's only about I just want to get out of hell and I'm just going to go on and do whatever I want to do, and it's not about just about receiving Christ as your Savior, if it's not about that, restoring that relationship, allowing God to restore that relationship between Him and man, you, which results in getting out of hell and results in going to heaven and results in some blessings in life, but it also results in some trials. But if our sole purpose for coming to the Lord is for what we get out of it, our purposes are wrong. If your sole purpose for serving the Lord is for what you get out of it, your purposes are wrong. I tell you, most pastors will tell you, most pastors that are doing the right thing will tell you that you don't go into the ministry for money. Not just because it doesn't work, because God didn't design it to work that way unless you're manipulating people and taking their money and yeah, but and yeah, teaching work salvation and all this kind of yeah, selling salvation, yeah, for sure. But when you're seeking God for what you can get from Him, that's treating God like he's some sort of genie in a bottle, you know. Sometimes, by the way, believers, people who are born again, get mixed up with worldly mindset that God exists for our purposes, that God exists so that I can get what I want out of life. That, oh, well, I want this, I want that, I want this comfort, I want this this stuff, I want this achievement, I want this power, I want this wealth, and God is there to answer my prayers to have those things. That's wrong. That's wrong. That's what Israel was doing. They're saying, Jesus gave us food. Woo! What else can we get? Jesus healed the sick. Yes! Jesus healed the blind. Yes, He raised the dead. Yes, let's get some more of that. That wasn't Him offering them Himself as King. That wasn't Him offering them His services. That was Him showing them that He was who He said He was. The miracles weren't about, let me give you some services here, fellers. The miracles weren't about, let me give you some stuff you want. The miracles were about, let me show you who I am. And they missed it. Instead, they thought, hey, free lunch. Hey, free from devils. Hey, free from blood. Hey, free from blindness. Hey, free from death. Woo! We can have our own little miracle worker that we can get on in here. Remember, Herod? He wanted to see Jesus perform some miracles. It's like they just wanted a magician or a king that would give them some relief and some services. God doesn't exist to serve us. He's the King. And by the way, that's the reason He declined, because they wanted Him to be their King for their purposes. And He declined. No, thank you. And then they declined His offer when they crucified Him. It says, it is the restored kingdom to Israel, inquired about by the Lord's church in Acts 1:6. It is a kingdom that will be ushered in at Christ's coming. Not the rapture, but at His coming. It says, note here the expression, now is come salvation and the kingdom, found in Revelation 12:10, illustrates the concept of phases. Salvation is the present possession of each believer, but there's also a sense in which it is perspective, your salvation. In the same way, every believer is in the kingdom of God, but there is a sense in which the full manifestation of this kingdom is future, right? Your body's not saved yet. Your inward man is saved. Your soul, your spirit, your inward man is saved. The body still carries about sin. There's still sin warring in your members and your body parts. There's still sin in your body. Your body's not redeemed. As Paul said, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I think God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. The flesh isn't saved, but there's going to come a day when it's going to die. Hallelujah, praise the Lord, it's going to die. That's awesome. This flesh, this sinful flesh is going to die someday. And I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to get out of this body and I'm going to go somewhere else. I'm going to be with Jesus. Or if He comes back, before that, if he raptures me before that, then this body, as it is, will not be what leaves. I'll be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, I'll be changed. And this corruptible will put on incorruption. And this mortal will put on immortality, and this body will not be what goes to heaven. It'll be the changed me. But we like to love these bodies of ours, don't we? We pamper our bodies. Listen, you should clean your body. That's important. Do that. It's the tool that God gives you to do things with in this life. It's pretty difficult to do much in this world, or really anything in this world, without your body. Kind of need that. But don't treat it like it's all there is. Just the same, we're saved, but our whole being won't be until the day of redemption. That's why it's called the day of redemption, when the rest of us gets redeemed. Right? So you get to carry around this lost body with a saved inward man. The kingdom is very, very much similar. That there are two phases to the kingdom. There's the present spiritual kingdom, and then there is the physical kingdom when Christ comes. Now, the millennial kingdom also has two spheres, profession and possession. According to Revelation 20, verses 9 and or 8 and 9, a final testing of the hearts of men will be permitted at the close of the utopian era, or the millennial kingdom. At the close of that time, the final test will be permitted, and revealing that a substantial multitude had only a form of godliness under the righteous rule of Christ. Isn't that interesting? After 1,000 years following Jesus, after 1,000 years of serving, of having the King, the Creator of the universe, rule the world physically from the throne of Jerusalem, being able to go and see Him face to face, 1,000-year rule. And at the end, multitudes decide to try to go with the devil to destroy him. Wow. Proving that there's some who follow only for what they think they can get out of it. Some who follow insincerely. Number three, the perpetual phase. The perpetual phase. So we talked about the present phase, the prospective phase, and then the perpetual phase. This is the final eternal kingdom. Mentioned in several passages, it is important to note that the entrance requirement in each phase is the same: salvation by grace through faith in Christ. But the perpetual phase is it's what we would call eternity future, right? It's when we continue with Him forever. After this world is passed away, after heaven and earth is passed away, after there's a new heaven and a new earth, we get to be with Him in the perpetual kingdom, the eternal kingdom. Having considered all of those things, we arrive at the following simple definition. The kingdom of God is the rule of God. Now, in the hearts of willing subjects, universal and invisible, soon over the nations of the whole earth. That's universal, visible. So, let me see here. We're going to pause at that because we're going to talk, not next week, but the following week, we'll look at how the church, or rather, how the kingdom of God relates to the church of God. Okay, it's important to really just kind of define the kingdom of God and deal with the various aspects of what the kingdom of God is before we start talking about how the kingdom of God and the church relate to one another.